Well, welcome back, everyone. It's been forever.
Yeah.
It really has.
Okay, I'm here with Joe Reed,
Hi.
Katie Rich,
Good morning.
Nick Davis.
Hey.
In case you forgot who any of us were, I'm
Right.
Nathaniel from the Film Experience. Yeah, so I have to learn to plan better and stop killing momentum just as the season hits, because I do this every year and I gotta switch it up. So I go to LA and then Sundance, and then by the time I'm back, like, I've been so distracted that I haven't discussed the Oscar nominations in full.
I don't even know how you handle like not being in the comfort of your home when the Oscar nominations come out. Like it's such a stressful morning and you're like on planes and in LA.
Well, I was smart this time. I rented an apartment and I made sure to get there the night before. So I was actually like typing all day from this apartment that I had rented. So that was fine. But it's just like all the travel and stuff, it adds up, and there wasn't, that much posting, and I'll do it differently next year.
We love you just the way you are.
And then I missed you guys talking about American Sniper, which would have been fun or maybe
Oh
stressful to
man.
talk about.
It was fun.
It was a good conversation. I feel like I got right with that movie in a few ways, so.
Did that movie get right with you, though?
Yeah, well, that is another question entirely.
So, I haven't talked to you guys in so long. Where to even begin now? What
Well,
do you.
now Birdman,
I
I
still
feel
live in
like, is one
Chicago.
cliche, right?
Wait, we have two threads at once. What happened?
Nick, you go.
I just said, well, I still live in Chicago, and things are basically the same.
Oh, congratulations.
You and Mila Kunis, is she cleaning your toilets?
That's right. I was actually invited to be the onstage interviewer of the Wachowskis when Jupiter Ascending had its early Chicago premiere, and I wrote,
Wow.
that seems like probably not the best idea.
Oh man, but just to meet them would be so interesting, I think.
Yeah, I said no. I mean, I think it would be super interesting to meet them, but like the minute that any one person who worked with them was like, "Oh, who's this guy?" Google. Oh my God!
Oh, right, because you're like the voice of Matrix descent.
Nobody needs that.
Yeah, there's the one movie that people can agree on that they like by the Wachowskis, and that is
Bound.
that's currently the Matrix.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, people
Have
can't
we
agree
all
on.
seen that movie? Have we all seen Jupiter Ascending?
I think Nathaniel hasn't.
I have.
Under
Oh,
no circumstances.
Nick.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, that would be fun to discuss.
You guys can discuss.
It's sure something.
Well, I mean, there's so many things. I went to Sundance. You could ask me about that. Also, Birdman won the DGA.
That's what Joe was bringing up, I think, which
Yeah,
does
that
feel a
was.
little more topical to our interests than Jupiter Ascending. Jupiter Ascending will get no Oscar nominations. I'm just going to say it right now.
I couldn't believe how late at night it had. Like, I was literally like about to drift off, and I was already like, God, I really should get to sleep. And then all of a sudden, like, DGA news comes out. Like, I
Well,
guess this is LA's
everyone
one
gives a
excuse to not
speech.
do something super early.
Well,
Yeah,
yeah,
when.
because yeah, even the nominees give speeches there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They get their little medal and whatever, and it's
They
adorable.
get their little medal.
They could be like the mom
It's
in
like kindergarten graduation. It's sort of like
Yeah.
everybody gets something.
It'd be like the mom in Beyond the Lights, like, throw it away. You didn't win.
Right. Wes Anderson, you put that in the dumpster right now.
So am I, didn't Mark Harris just posted that every TV category was won by a woman director?
Yes, it's true.
Oh, that's
Wow. How many TV categories are there?
Three.
At least three.
Well,
That's
Lisa
really.
Cholodenko. I don't know who would have won the other two. That's interesting. That's awesome.
It was like series television, like directing episodes type of
Right, right,
wins.
right, right, right. Yeah.
But yeah, Olive Kittredge and a couple other
Awesome.
things.
That's really exciting. I'm gonna look this
So
up.
that's kind of great.
Yeah. It's been, in some ways, the year of like people noticing that women direct movies.
Oh, it says here, so Jill Soloway for Transparent,
Of course,
that was
yes,
gonna be my
right.
guess.
Lisa Cholodenko, Laura Poitras for Citizen Four,
Right.
and Leslie Linka Glatter for Homeland.
Beautiful. That's
Wow.
awesome. That's really good.
Yeah.
I hope that Michelle MacLaren has won one of these at some point.
I would think she's
Even though,
such a good TV director, my
yeah, I mean,
gosh.
now that Breaking Bad is off, like it's less likely, but I hope she's
Yeah.
got one there. I can also look that up.
Yeah.
Is she the Game of Thrones person?
And Breaking Bad.
Oh, okay.
And she's now directing Wonder Woman.
Yes. Although the last time they hired Game of Thrones people to direct, it didn't turn out so well.
That is true.
What was that?
Thor: Alan the Taylor. Dark World.
I kind of like
I was going to say Joe. Shut up.
God, we've had this conversation. I can't do it again. Not with you people. I'm sorry.
Not with you people. Jesus.
Yeah, I'll I'm find a Thor
descender. Sympathetic ears to listen to my Thor, please.
IMDb does not list DGA wins.
Not yet.
They're kind of slow.
They haven't updated yet.
Well, no, they don't list them at all. Like, oh, unless Michelle McLaren was never nominated because that's there's possible, nothing on her page. I mean. Wow. Okay. Sidebar. Do you guys think that the DGAs mean that it's all over and Birdman's winning everything? No. That's what the internet thinks today.
That's because the internet is so, like a hysterical woman.
Jeez, Nathaniel.
Yeah, he like just took woman. It to a place, but wow.
Yeah. Well, it's like I was thinking of Nightcrawler. Like, think of our show as a woman screaming with her throat slit.
Oh. And that's the internet. Okay.
I feel that that's exactly what happens every time anything happens.
Yeah.
Okay. People are like, "Oh, this changes everything," and I'm like, "Not necessarily."
But this is sort of the culmination of three things, though, I think.
Birdman now has the SAG.
The SAG, the DGA, and the DGA. Because, like,
that's
again...
That's true, but...
The SAG was not a surprise to me.
Yeah.
And the PGA was sort of like, whatever. I feel like the PGA just sort of gets its head patted and just like, aw, PGA, adorable. Like, nobody really thinks the PGA is, like, strictly predictive. But now that it's, like, all three things at once, now all of a sudden everybody's like, oh, shit. Like now it's like it feels over. At least in Best Picture. Like, I still think Linklater has enough of a story behind the creation of Boyhood that he still has a pretty good shot at Best Director.
Or it could be the opposite.
Or it could be the opposite. Yeah, that's...
That's why I don't think it's really over yet. If you look back, I just posted about this, but if you look back at DGA history, it's hardly 100%. People always pretend it is, but it generally means, yes, the film is going to win Oscars, but it doesn't right. necessarily mean this wins Best Picture and Best Director.
Right.
Like, there's been, in the past 20 years, like, 6 instances where things were not the same.
Right.
But there have also been 14 where they were.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that it means something is strong, but it doesn't mean it's over.
Right. No, yeah. I agree with you.
And people could just get so hysterical. Oh, it's all over. Birdman's winning everything. And I'm like, no. I mean, Birdman lost the Globe, and there's been... And Oscars also use preferential ballot for wins, and Birdman's way more divisive than Boyhood.
I totally forgot Birdman lost the Globe. Jeez, how quickly we forget.
But I think what this sort of, like, guild triple play is sort of telling us is that it's not as divisive than maybe we think, as maybe we think.
I don't think I ever thought it was divisive. Well, I mean, and, like, the idea of it winning the guilds makes so much sense because it's so technical, it's got so many people in it, like, the sheer amount of production that goes into it compared to Boyhood always seemed to make sense for me with the Globes. I just don't like it that much.
It's divisive in the sense that, like, people who don't like Boyhood kind of don't like Boyhood, and people who don't like Birdman want to murder it.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. So, like, who is going to put Boyhood last on their ballot? You know what I'm saying? But I could see people putting Birdman last on their ballot.
But I'm not sure how many Oscar voters I can see putting Birdman last on their ballot. Like, I can see a lot of the internet putting it last on their ballot. And
Sorry, continue.
Well, just that not all, I'm not ascribing any position to everybody, but so much of the, like, web-based hatred seems to be about the, like, you know, overweening celebration of the artist and his vainglory and
the cheap hatred of critics
and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, nobody's going to give a shit about that in Hollywood.
Well, and also, kind of
thread the needle of, like, what's one of the few nominees that has the, like, technical nominations and the acting nominations?
That's true.
And
a recipe
that actually helps people a lot and looks semi, at least has a relationship to blockbuster-y.
Wait, what?
Did we lose you?
I don't know.
Oh.
I thought you were in the middle of a sentence.
Nope.
Oh. Well, now you're talking about the technical stuff. I'm just like, maybe Grand Budapest just sweeps in and wins everything. And what a fun world that would be.
Well, I mean, the BAFTAs are tonight, and Grand Budapest does lead the nominations.
And it's super European, so who knows?
That would be a fun development.
It would be really fun.
And it would be really fun to see how that lady with her throat slit reacts.
Oh. I thought you were talking about someone in Grand Budapest. I was like, jeez.
No.
I watched that recently.
I just mean, you know, the woman screaming.
Yeah.
Just because...
The facility for getting Nightcrawler back into the conversation every time it drops out is impressive.
I miss it in so many categories. No, not in so many categories. I miss it in Best Actor.
Yeah.
And yet I feel like it's never been gone.
We didn't talk about doing this in the planning email, but while we're talking about nominations, can we talk about Best Actor? As, like, the one category that still seems up in the air, I might need you guys to guide me through this.
Yeah.
I actually think that with Birdman rising as, like, a legitimate threat for Boyhood's, you know, supremacy through early precursors, I think that actually might not bode well for Michael Keaton, because it might not be, like, we have to give it something.
Mm-hmm.
And I've long said that Eddie Redmayne was going to win. I would prefer Michael Keaton to win, just because I think the performance is better, frankly. But I'm just tired of, you know, it always being real characters that win as opposed to fictional characters. But
yeah.
But don't you also always want to see the Oscars vote younger in that category?
I don't necessarily want that. I just think it just shows their gender politics a lot.
Yeah.
I want the person who, in this case, the oldest person is the one I think is the best. So.
Yes.
But
yes.
If it's a 50-year-old woman and then a 32-year-old man who wins the Oscars.
Yeah, that would be like bizarro world.
Yeah, it'd be really fun.
Well, and then everybody would run and rent Savage Grace and everybody
would
best case scenario.
And then be completely horrified.
Yeah.
I think that if they both win...
And then they would run and go see Seventh Son and Jupiter Ascending.
What? You guys, I actually saw a back-to-back double feature of those.
Did you really?
Yesterday.
Wow.
Well, you and most of America, I'm sure.
I saw you tweeting from inside the Seventh Son IMAX screening, which I thought was funny that you shelled out for the extra for the IMAX, you know.
Well, it was the first showing, so it wasn't, you know, it was like $14 or something. But, it was just because of timing, because I had to, you know, for those who haven't been following on, you know, the interwebs, my cat has been sick, so I had this day where I had to drop him off at the vet, and I was so stressed about it, because they were just going to call me whenever.
Oh, God.
About how things were going, because he had to have two procedures, and so I was like, what could possibly distract me from worrying about this all day? And I'm like, the only thing would be sitting in a movie theater, because I would turn off the phone, and, you know.
Yeah.
So I went to see both of those back to back just because the timing worked. But it was really weird because as I tweeted, you know, the theater was completely empty. And, you know, I took that photo, but three people walked in right
before.
It
always happens, right? When you think you're going to have the theater to yourself.
Yeah. So, like, there were like four of us watching the Seventh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was it Cal and Liv? And Cal's girlfriend? All right, you don't have to say. Whatever.
Yeah. It's IMAX, and I was wearing glasses, so who knows who they were.
Mm.
That's
not a convincing cover story, but I hear what you're saying.
Anyway.
All right, so Best Actor, do any of you buy into my cockamamie theory that Bradley Cooper could win the whole thing?
Now, since we've had that American Sniper podcast, Katie, it's all I can think of. Right? it keeps
gotten inside,
like,
your brain.
I was just like, it just makes sense, people. It's just like 2002,
where they can't decide, so they go with, like,
yeah, where they go with the late breaking sort of you know, the movie, The Hot Hand at the time, which I guess still is American Sniper if you're talking about, like, box office.
Still the only one that's made any money.
Yeah.
I mean, I want him to win so much that I'm completely unable to assess this coolly, but I do think that Adrian Brody never happens if the other four nominees don't already have Oscars. Yeah. Like, that
was that is a good, that's a very good
point.
Yeah.
And he did also win the BAFTA, I think. So there wasn't nothing kind of leading into that scenario. Yeah, I don't see it. But and I you know, I think American Sniper will have trouble out of technical fields, but he so deserves it. That's just me.
I mean, I'd be fine with seeing Bradley Cooper win an Oscar, and I do think he's the best part of it. I feel like the box office for that has made American Sniper a really different movie since the nominations even came out.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it's a movie that people care about and it's the only one, like, you know, in all that period you spend yelling about the Oscar nominees, like, American Sniper is the only one anyone wants to talk about anymore. Whereas last year we were, like, screaming about Wolf of Wall Street and about American Hustle, and it was fun. It's been a really quiet year for that. I thought it was fun.
Okay.
I mean, I like it when anyone wants to talk about these movies.
Me getting yelled at about Wolf of Wall Street was my least favorite part of last year's Academy Awards.
Well, we didn't yell at you about it, girl.
You did not. No, it's true.
And I didn't.
But I think it is Wolf of Wall Street-ish in the fact that, like, exactly, like, a lot of the conversational frenzy around it also reveals how many people have these, like, you know, entrenched stands about why they would never vote for something like that.
Yeah.
Or how much they suspect it on political grounds or whatever. Right. I think would be
right,
a
because
big problem.
I agree, because you also remember there was all sorts of, like, oh, well, Leo can win because it's so popular.
Yeah, that's true.
With Bradley Cooper, like, to head off any kind of, you know, X number of nominations and he hasn't won yet, like, talk at the pass. So that would, win him winning this year would really do me a solid in that regard. So.
And so he doesn't win for complete nonsense down the road?
Well, or just sort of just, like, so next year, like, whatever movie he's in doesn't become, like, well, when's he going to win one? He's already been nominated 3 times now. And
listen, it didn't work for Big Eyes, so.
Sure did not.
Well, nothing worked for Big Eyes.
And it never worked for Leo either.
If we had just given Amy Adams the Oscar for The Fighter, we would not have these problems right now.
I like your alternate history.
It all comes back to Amy Adams and The Fighter.
She was the best in that category that year. I'm just going to keep saying it. Listen, if you can keep talking about Jake Gyllenhaal and Nightcrawler, I can keep talking about Amy Adams and The Fighter.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yes, that's the rule.
But then Melissa Leo shows up at some Hollywood function with a gun, and then think about how many people we lose. 12? 19? I don't know.
It's true.
And it could have been anybody.
She'd take Keira Knightley hostage, and it would be a terrible situation.
Well, yeah. This clears the way for Amy Adams to get her Janis Joplin.
Oh, dear. Is it just me that doesn't want any Janis Joplin movie at this point, just because the buildup has been so...
Well, and I think Jenna Maroney already did it best.
Yeah, Jackie Georgia. Yeah. Who can forget that?
Let's all just go back and watch The Rose, and we'll be fine.
Oh, who knows? Maybe we could all... Meryl could win... No, I'm just kidding. Meryl could win next year.
I can't.
Oh, no, not if you ask Jeff Wells. He thinks that release date just means nobody cares about it because, you know,
movies. What is the release date?
It's like early August. It's the Julie and Julia slot, which, you know, didn't work out for Meryl last time.
Yeah, it didn't work out for her at all. Yeah. I can't wait for that movie.
And I can't wait for Jeff Wells' opinions because they seem so grounded and so savvy to art.
Yeah.
So thoughtful.
It makes so much sense to me that anybody reads him.
Yeah, I don't, so I'm happy. I'm a happier person. I cut all those, that sort of genre of person out of my life, out of my Twitter life, which is nice.
Your Twitter life is so zen now.
I know, it's incredibly zen. Very happy with it.
But now how do you know which woman is screaming on the internet?
I have a sixth sense about which woman is screaming on the internet, Katie. Sometimes
you hang up, you lick your finger, you hold it out the window.
Right.
Someone on the internet is fighting.
Or you do that virtually rather than literally putting your finger out the window.
Right. And sometimes people will DM me tweets, so I find out.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. I'll start doing that.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, sorry. I brought up Jeff Wells and really...
that's okay.
Yeah, you derailed us. Thanks a lot. I know,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. We were so on topic about Janis Joplin.
I know.
That's true. We were, like, right on course. Not that we had a course. This is sort of a, like, welcome back, everyone.
Right.
It's been on your mind for the last...
It's a sewing circle.
Yes.
So this is a nomination-based question. What wins in Best Song now?
I don't think Glory can lose, actually.
Really?
Who knows? Maybe I'll be wrong.
Nick, were you thinking that because Selma has disappeared so much that
No, it's just that I'm genuinely confused about it. Like, I see the sort of, like, I see that Glory already had some awards momentum, and then now it is the way to get Selma an Oscar.
Yeah.
But, I also keep, like, I mean, this, maybe the closest I get to the Academy graphic is that film group of women that I lead these discussions with.
And, like, oh, yeah.
They were actively put off by the song, even though they really liked the movie, and they resented the Ferguson analogy and thought it was...
Yeah, I've heard that from a lot of corners, yeah.
And you know, rap as a genre maybe is not exactly where they are anyway. I get it that Lose Yourself won, but whatever. Hustle and Flow's even more so. Whatever. Anyway, like,
yeah,
there, it seemed like there are so many good options in that category.
Yeah,
well, it's a category
very
full
strong
of
strong category,
and it's full of movies that didn't get what we thought maybe would have been, you know, more their due this year. Whether it's, you know, that Beyond the Lights sort of failed at the box office, or that Begin Again.
Or Lego is
the powerful
exactly.
argument
Lego movie
there.
Is for some people, like, as much of a snub as Selma, in terms of just, like, you know, relative scale. But I don't know. It seems like if they were really into the Lego movie, they would have nominated the Lego movie. So,
well, but I mean, if they were really into Ben Affleck, they would have nominated him for Best Director. You know, like,
yeah,
the
sure.
snubs like that happen and then change.
Yeah,
and that actually, that this is the first time I've thought of it, but that seems like a really compelling idea that they could, that Lego movie could win there.
Yeah,
I don't really think so, because I have trouble imagining the Lego movie as sort of like a cause. The way,
because,
like,
it was such a huge hit.
No? Yeah, because the way underdogs, like, they normally need some sort of underdog quality.
Yeah.
and yet, Ben Affleck.
Yeah. Yet again.
Yeah, but I mean, the Lego movie was, like, what, the third biggest hit of the year or something? And it's, you know, I'm sure it's done wonders for Lego sales, and it was always kind of a full-length commercial, even though it's brilliant in being that, you know, which is still why I think it didn't get nominated.
Because it was too commercial.
Well, because it was a commercial.
Because it was literally
itself,
a commercial.
Basically, yeah. So, I mean, God bless. Like, if you have to, if you are going to work in that genre and you're going to make something that promotes your corporation, by all means, be that smart and clever and, you know, fun, insanely funny about it.
Yeah.
But it's still, I actually think that's why people resisted it.
It's funny thinking about this as why nobody watches the Oscars, because it's like, oh, this movie was super successful and did a really good job of being in pop culture. We will not nominate it for anything. Which
seriously,
is fine, but stop wondering why people aren't watching.
Honestly, like, at some point, I do wish that, like, viewership concerns would just go away. Like,
I want
to stop trying to twist somebody's arm to watch the Oscars. Like, if they don't want to watch it, I don't want them to watch it. I'm going to get very, like...
You don't deserve the Oscars.
Just, no, like, because, like, yeah, because every time that comes up, it's like, let's get rid of costume design, or let's get rid of, like...
Yeah.
It's always, like, things that people who really love Oscars wouldn't want them to change, you know?
Right.
And those are the people that are going to watch every year.
Purely from a selfish perspective for Best Original Song, I want Diane Warren to have an Oscar. So,
oh my god!
You
and
know,
she's been giving the most amazing interviews, and I interviewed her the day of the nominations, and she was hilarious. But then Chris Rosen talked to her, and she was calling out Rita Ora for not promoting the song enough. It was
awesome. Awesome.
I just saw that movie last night for the first time.
What'd you think?
Loved it. Gugu and Nate were both amazing, I thought.
Yeah.
But I have to admit, I was waiting for the song the whole time, and I either didn't hear it, or didn't recognize it, or was completely confused about where it was in the movie. But I'm like, what was the song that got nominated? I don't know.
It's over the credits.
Oh, that's why. Because it was an event, so the director came out, so they didn't really play the credits.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. They're having Beyond the Lights events 3 months after the movie came out?
Great idea.
Yeah, no, listen,
it
was interesting because it was, it's called the Athena Film Festival, and it's at, it's like across the street from Bernard, and it was like a women in leadership sort of festival type of thing.
Okay.
So they were asking, and they actually talked about that, like, what does it feel to have this movie that's basically cresting in between when it can be successful, you know?
Uh-huh.
Like, people are most interested in now, but it's gone from theaters, it's not on DVD yet, and, you know, it was like a full house, and She was interesting about it. She's like, I was very disappointed in the opening weekend, and I really thought, you know, what is happening? And she blamed it on the marketing.
Yeah.
She said, you know, we had insanely great scores from all types of audiences, and yet when it came time for the marketing department to go for it, they were like, let's market it like every other, you know, quote unquote black film, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When she's like, you know, we showed it all over the place, and she said Toronto was like 95% white and people loved it. So anyway, she it was an interesting conversation.
But then it's been interesting. I mean, a lot of people have said, you know, I see that narrative, but then you also hear equally persuasive people saying that they did not sufficiently sell it as a black movie, and that it was too positioned as a, by which they seem to mean, like, mass market black audience film, mm-hmm. and that the marketing skewed to kind of, like, awards prestige this movie played in Toronto.
Hmm.
And that it kind of got lost in between. I mean, I still put all of this on audiences because I don't, you know, like if you're like, I can't figure out if this movie is like a melodrama or like a really good movie, like then go find out. Like, yeah. Go see the goddamn movie while it's in the theaters. But I can't, I mean, everybody says the marketing, but they say really different things about why the marketing didn't work.
So. Well, you say the marketing sometimes because you can't say, I blame the audience. If I'm, you know, if you're the director, you can't be,
yeah.
like, at the risk of being unpopular, I place right. something squarely on you as viewer. Like,
the director can't, yeah. Like, the other think pieces about why this didn't work, which are not by the director, mm-hmm. you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was interesting though because she went through all the production history and that you know she lost like all the funding and everything when she cast Gugu.
Yeah,
because all the studios were like, nope, she's not famous.
All the funding.
Yeah.
Do we know who they wanted?
She wouldn't say, but she said it was a famous musical artist.
Rihanna.
They wanted actual Rihanna.
Basically, Rihanna would have been really interesting. Like,
well, but Rihanna can't act. We all saw Battleship.
Yeah, well, she said a famous musical artist was attached, and her budget was like $25 million. And then once that person dropped out because they were concerned that audiences would think it was their story, like a biographical thing.
Yeah.
Then she was like, "Why am I looking at musical artists? Why am I not looking at actors? You know."
Yeah.
And then she found Gugu, which someone suggested, and when she said Gugu auditioned, she's like, I was just hoping she could hold a note at all, because I loved her audition. And then she sang Blackbird in the audition, and I was just like, oh my god, I saw the entire movie in front of my face.
Wow.
But then the studio who was backing it said, nope, and, you know, dropped it completely.
But then they saw her performance in Jupiter Ascending, and they were like, nope, she's Beckett.
Yeah.
Wait, she's crucial. In that?
She has a very small part. She has a very small part and gigantic ears for some reason.
Gigantic ears, yes.
I kind of wish I didn't know that.
Yeah. I didn't
now you're
tell.
Nobody comes out of that unscathed. So.
Oh, it's just a scathing device. It just scathes people.
I actually thought it was kind of fun in a stupid way. I love
the movie or her performance.
No, the movie.
Her performance is fine.
Yeah,
I think Eddie Redmayne is doing the right thing with his with the scary whispering British villain thing. Like,
I thought he was terrible.
Oh, I mean, he's not. I don't know. I enjoyed watching him.
Yeah, I think he's going for it. I think that's how I've been describing it for people. He's really sort of going for it, and whether he achieves it or not.
Whether he should have.
I do think he should have.
Well,
I think going for decorum in a movie like that is a mistake.
Yes.
So, like, I'm glad that he was certainly the most interesting thing about that movie. I think that movie is an incoherent mess, but I enjoyed sort of chuckling at his, like, old man whispers. Like, it was really, really affected and strange, but, like, enjoyable. I don't know. He specifically was enjoyable.
Wait, does he actually age into an old man at some point?
No, but it's
no,
just
but
like
he
that.
Is like he's like many millennia old, I think.
Yes.
Okay.
But he looks like Eddie Redmayne.
Yes. Well, thank goodness for that.
I know. Although it's funny, like Eddie Redmayne is one of those people who like can look incredibly handsome and then also really strange. And maybe this is just because I've seen Savage Grace, and it's definitely more like strange Redmayne mode.
Yes.
I think there should be a movie where he and Marion Cotillard are just on the screen, and you're like, they're so beautiful. Oh wait.
Yeah. Are they?
Yeah. Well, no, they're beautiful. Javier Bardem can be in it. It should just be
yes.
like that.
I did love the juxtaposition of Douglas Booth with that sort of royal family in Jupiter Ascending, though, because he's just so pretty. He looks like a doll.
And he does look like exactly that type of, like, the third son of a royal family who, like, was never parented and sort of was able to do whatever he wanted and is this sort of, you know, throwing his money around, doing whatever he wants, buying planets willy-nilly.
Nathaniel, I was saying, and then you've actually seen Seven Sons, you can argue with me, but if Douglas Booth and Ben Barnes switched promotional duties between Seven Sun and Jupiter Ascending, would anyone notice?
No. I don't think any, like, I'm just going to be mean for a second. I don't think anybody would notice if Ben Barnes did anything.
Wow.
Hi.
No, the thing is,
he's correct in advertising that as mean. Wow.
I mean, he's, like, he's fine. I mean, he's very attractive and he's an adequate actor. But I just don't see any, like, I keep waiting for there to be a star there if he's going to keep getting lead roles.
Yeah. Well, Seven Son was made like 5 years ago.
Yeah, so. I was going to say, this is sort of the walking ghost of Ben Barnes' leading man career.
Yeah, it's like, you can tell how old it is because he was just off of Prince Caspian, and I was like, yeah, this is a good idea.
I did think it was hilarious that Jeff Bridges had just completely walked off True Grit and onto that set, and like, I'll just do the same performance, just dress me differently.
It's going to be like when Sam Worthington is the lead of Avatar sequels in like 2012, oh, or 2020 rather, and like...
And everyone will be like, oh, that guy from Cake.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, Cake. God, we really just dodged a bullet having to talk about that one, I will say.
Oh, God.
Well, don't say it that way or we'll get sucked into it.
Well, let's.
So Seventh Son was made 5 years ago?
Yeah. Maybe not quite that long ago,
well,
but a while.
Well, it must have been, like, due to my theory, it must have been made in 2010, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the True Grit theory?
My True Grit theory, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds about right. It's been around for a long
time. It was supposed to come out, like, legitimately 2 years ago.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. How many phone calls do you think Sony Pictures Classics made to, like, beg them to not do that?
Well, we would have heard about it over after all the leaks, so.
Juliette looks really pretty in it, though.
That's... She plays a witch.
Yeah.
She plays a sorceress. She plays a, yeah, okay.
And is it just me, or does everyone who plays that part borrow from Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman?
It might just be you.
That seems like something that would just be you.
I don't want to say anything for sure, but if...
Even Michelle Pfeiffer borrows from Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman. Like, it just seems like I'm always reminded of that when any woman's, like, doing, like, I'm the seductive villainess.
Listen, I think they all borrow from Christina Pickles in Masters of the Universe, but that's only just me.
That makes perfect sense, yeah.
Yeah.
Although...
No, I don't know. That's interesting. Maybe I'll watch some of Seventh Son when it comes on to HBO, and I'll make that determination.
You'll watch some of it. I love that commitment, Joe. Just go for it.
I'll just, you know, I'll flip through. I'll see if when she's on screen. That's totally...
I'll have it on picture within a picture while I'm watching the game, and
you won't be able to miss her when you see dragons on screen. The one with long red hair is her.
Wait, she's a dragon with long red hair?
Yes.
Nice.
What?
Wait, are you being serious right now?
I am being serious.
Is that like when I was watching the preview and Jaimin Hunsu seemed to turn into a monster?
Yes.
And I thought, honey, you have got to stop this.
Like, I know.
This cannot be. What is wrong with your agent? I see you as like a gremlin, like a goblin, or even play a white dragon, but maybe make it like a black dragon. Like, stop. Probably, let's say, zilch other options quite plausibly, but Jesus Christ.
Two Oscar nominations, and they treat him like a Z-grade actor in everything.
And he was in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Watch his body morph
right.
into a beast over and over.
Yeah.
He wasn't notable in Guardians of the Galaxy, but he was in it.
He wasn't, but he was, right there in it.
But another Jimon Hansu part is exactly what he always plays.
Yeah.
So, Katie, about Jupiter Ascending, though, you mentioned to me after we walked out of the theater, and you wrote about this also.
Oh, yeah.
That your areas in which Jupiter Ascending exceeds the accomplishments of Guardians of the Galaxy, which fascinates me.
So, basically, my biggest problem, and we all saw Guardians of the Galaxy, right?
Yep.
So, yeah. Like, my main problem with it is just how, like, everyone in the movie is the Han Solo. Like, it's very thinking and very, like, I don't give a shit about any of this. And so that when it comes to the end and they're like, it's like, here's the big emotional moment. You're like, you didn't earn this. Like, don't let that tree sacrifice try to mean something.
I hate that trope so bad, too. That whole, we're going to kill a character that we can easily bring back to life for, like.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was the other part. I was like, guys.
Baymax.
She's going to come back. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And so I like that Judah Ascending wore its heart on its sleeve. Like, that was my main thing. And then also the fact that Eddie Redmayne, like his performance or not, like, was not wearing a ton of makeup and was doing a very memorable villain performance, which is something that the Marvel movies have had a huge problem with. Like, Lee Pace, you wouldn't even know he's in that. Benicio del Toro is interesting for a single scene. Like, Tom Hiddleston is the only interesting Marvel villain there's been, and that's partly because he's, like, not wearing tons of makeup. So I don't know. There are just things in it that we, like, that did something differently from the Marvel formula, and at this point it really is a formula, and they're going to be our foremost maker of sci-fi movies that aren't Star Wars, because all these movies are going to be taking place in space, or a lot of them are. So just, like, the idea of kind of going for it and not making it so ruthlessly engineered the way that Marvel is, that is what's going to make Jupiter Ascending make no money, but I would like for Marvel to take a couple of the kind of risks that Jupiter Ascending did.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, I mean, it's weird, because I hated Cloud Atlas about as much as you can hate a movie.
Oh, wow, I don't think I knew that.
I despise it. So I was surprised that I kind of enjoyed Jupiter Ascending. I mean, I think it's terrible, but on the other hand, it was really just out there. Like, okay, that's what you want to do, go for it.
Yeah.
And which, like Katie, I just appreciate, because it does not feel like it was made at a factory at all. It feels like you have some really terrible ideas and no one's telling you not to do them, but at least they're your ideas.
Bees are genetically programmed to recognize royalty.
Oh my god, the fucking bees.
So this sounds like your Interstellar reaction, where you were like, oh, I get it, you are profoundly limited in this way. Well, let's just do that.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So I finally accepted them for who they are.
I finally come to accept your stupidity. Yeah.
Yeah, and I would rather have someone with limitations like the... Well, I don't know. Christopher Nolan can put together a good story much better than the Wachowskis can. But, like, Interstellar was so disappointing for how programmed and clean it felt. And I really liked that Jupiter Ascending was the opposite. Like, it was disappointing for how completely bananas it was.
What if Andy and Lana Wachowski directed a movie scripted by Christopher and Jonathan Nolan?
Oh, my God. I would be into that. Right? I'd be so into it.
It's actually remarkable how many famous directors would do better if they had, like, a collaboration rather than just themselves.
I think this is about James Cameron Weekly. Like,
but you do realize you're saying that 60 seconds after saying you hated Cloud Atlas.
Why did someone else write that?
Remember how Tom Tickford directed parts of it?
With Ben? Right.
Yeah.
Oh, you should, drop the mic, Nick.
Boom.
I apologize for everything I just said.
No, I mean, like, the general principle is awesome, but yeah, I don't know. Imagine the Wachowskis making a movie scripted by Christopher Nolan. That'd be incredible. Is that what you guys just said?
Yeah, that's what Daniel
said.
Blew my mind.
I mean, I imagine him crying in a room somewhere, but it would be amazing to watch.
Like, the Wachowskis Interstellar, I would watch that 100 times. That sounds amazing. It sounds crazy.
It does sound crazy.
But only if it's, like, the exact script.
Like, they're not.
I don't know. Mila Kunis could not pull off that love speech the way Anne Hathaway can.
Maybe they get the same cast too, like McConaughey in a Wachowski's movie. It's like basically he could just do his best Keanu Reeves.
Oh, but that would mean Matt Damon would be Eddie Redmayne, which I would not be able to sit through.
Yeah, that Matt Damon is wonderful, but that might be a stretch for him. Oh, maybe he could just do Talented Mr. Ripley.
Mr. Ripley is back in outer space.
He's murdered his way to to Jupiter.
Uh-huh. Bees!
Fucking bees.
So good.
And I just love, like, the art direction of that. It's just like, well, bees are going to be important to the narrative. So Sean Bean is going to live in a house that has just, like, random honeycomb, like, hanging from the ceiling. And just, like... Just do that. Just more of that. Make him look like the Honey Nut Cheerios bee, like, lives in that house. Just, like, whatever. It's totally fine. It's that kind of movie. It's that kind of thing. It also seemed to me Like, it was a movie that sort of was designed to take Mila Kunis from one costume to another. Mm-hmm. In a lot of, like, there was a lot of just, like, people were very concerned with dressing her.
Yes.
Yeah. And with making sure that she had no agency and never got to do anything fun at all.
Right.
All right, all right.
That's Trevor. How I love my protagonists. I really do.
Just being continually lifted up by Channing Tatum and whisked away somewhere else. I would not complain if this happened to
me. I'm sorry, I wasn't not an interesting thing. Said, what was that?
Yeah. Yeah, the fact that we saw this the same day that the Magic Mike XXL trailer
dropped. Yeah, we did.
And it was such a funny thing to come out of that movie and have to watch.
Well, I think, as I said on Twitter, like, this movie really hammers home the fact that, you know, blonde goatee, goat ears, wings, whatever, like, nothing is diminishing that I totally would with Channing Tatum in every possible
every story. Permutation, yeah.
Yeah, he could get it even if he's a wolf boy.
That's exactly right.
It's a splice, you guys.
Oh, right.
He's a splice.
Yeah, but, and the other thing I was confused about, that a wolf boy, but then... he's missing his wings, like...
Yes. Yeah, I got confused there's about some, that, too.
There's some character design issues that I'm not quite following there.
Oh,
God. He and Sean Bean are both missing wings, but Sean Bean looks like a regular person.
Yes. I think?
Right.
Nick, we really have you intrigued, don't we?
I can't wait to see this.
And also that Imogen Poots-looking girl who's not Imogen Poots or is not any of those British people.
The sister?
Yes, who turns out to be named Tuppence Middleton, which is a fake name, right? Like, she's on the run from some sort of cartel somewhere. Like.
No, I don't think I've seen her in anything, but I know that name, because I've been like, that's hilarious.
Sure, yeah. Yes. The Lost Middleton sister.
She'll probably be at the BAFTAs.
I actually think Jupiter Ascending might be the perfect movie to do one of those things that Joe and I did with Mean Girls, where we do the commentary.
That could be.
Oh, man.
Oh, lordy.
Well, we're out of time, so thanks for this free-for-all.
Yeah.
People who were hoping for us to comment on the Oscar nominations are going to go nuts.
Yeah, at this point, who knows what anybody expects.